Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Book of Genesis, chapter number 1. We're going to read verses 27 through 28 this evening. And we're going to be talking about the word fruitful. We're going to be actually dealing with the word fruitful for a while on the next few Sunday nights. And specifically, we're going to deal with fruitful tonight. So as you're turning there, I'm going to get here as well. Chapter number 1 of Genesis. We'll begin reading verse number 27. We'll read down to verse number 28. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we're grateful that we're able to be here tonight. We thank you for your word. Lord, as we begin to study this word fruitful out, I pray, Lord, it would be an encouragement to every heart and every life that is here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for our YouTube audience that's listening as well. We thank you for their faithfulness and tuning in every time that we're able to do this. And so, God, I pray. I know we had some problems with the sound this morning on that. I pray, Lord, that is all taken care of, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen. For the next several weeks, we are going to do a study on the word fruitful. We will take each letter and see how they will apply for us from the Word of God. So tonight, the first letter, obviously, is F. And to set up the next few months on this, we will deal with what it means to be fruitful. In God's word, he commands a few people on a few different occasions, and we just read one of these, to be fruitful and to multiply. A simple command for the earth, for this reason, to be replenished and to continue its growth. That's what it's designed for. We're going to look at it from another direction later on this evening. Before we go on, I'm just kind of giving you a little prelude. We're going to be dealing with how, as a believer, you and I are to be fruitful in this world. We're going to deal with this subject here first of all. God wanted this for man because he knew and said it wasn't good for man to be alone. So in the process, he created a helpmeet for man. The Holy Father even craved to be around fellowship. Do you realize that? He craved to be around fellowship. Look who he surrounded himself with in heaven. He surrounded himself with angels. For what reason? Not to just to be worshiped and to be adored, but he also wanted to have fellowship with them. And so this is where we're at in our study tonight. So even Jesus, our Heavenly Father, craved to be around to have fellowship. He had the angels in heaven to do that. And on earth, he created man for this purpose as well. Even from the beginning, man had a mate to converse with. But even that wasn't enough. Which is why God said in verse number 27, after verse number 27, he says, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful, be fruitful." And then he says, "And to multiply." These words were even said before the great sin took place in the garden. I bring this up for a reason. Some believe, because of the fall of man, that childbearing is a curse. Actually, childbearing is a curse because of what took place in the garden. But man, at this point in time, in God's word, God said, "I want you to be fruitful and I want you to multiply." I don't think the original plan was for sorrow at this point in time for the woman to go through such pain and anguish as they're going through childbearing. Here is an interesting note. Scientists say, this is interesting to get, scientists say for every child that a woman bears, it takes a year off of their life. Can you believe that? My mom had six of us. My mom lost 6 years of life, according to scientists. I find that strange. Where they get this information is beyond me. But it could be because the woman's body goes through extreme pain and difficulty during the childbearing process. Men, we cannot begin to understand what women go through when they go through this process of delivering a baby. We can't sit there and complain, well, I got gas pains, and it hurts me right here, and I don't know if I'm ever going to get over it. We cannot say those things to women when they're pregnant during that time. Before I go on with this, I want to address something here. I need to address, not every woman is going to be able to bear children. Even with this being said, God has given us another beautiful avenue for women to raise children, and that is through adoption. Adoption is a great thing when you begin to think about that, because I'm going to explain this here just a little bit. There is absolutely nothing wrong with adoption. And here is how I look at it from Scripture. Go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 tonight. I'm hearing a little sweet child kind of voice her, what do you call it, frustration. I don't think she's frustrated at all. She's just letting us know that she's here. And I'm stopping at this for a reason, because she's had some great difficulties in the last few, really the last few months of her life. And over a week ago, she was admitted into the hospital, and because she had this bad rash about her body, and parents were going through a very difficult time as well. No parent wants to see their children go through difficulty. No parent wants to see their child staying in a hospital overnight to have doctors come in every 2-3 hours to poke them and to prod them during this process so they can try to figure out what's going on. And so as I heard this voice projecting, letting, hey, I'm here. You know what I was thinking? If she was able to talk right now, I bet she's wanting to say, hey, thank you for your prayers. And we spent about 35 minutes in prayer about a week and a half ago. I don't know how the women prayed that night, but I know us men for about 35 minutes specifically lifted this little girl up in prayer. And within 2 days, we were able to see the results of prayer. We were able to see her face no longer covered with the rash that she had and the sores, and be cleared of those things. Hallelujah, praise Jesus for that. So thank you, MLN, for voicing your voice tonight, letting us know that you're here. Amen? So as we read here, chapter number 3 of Galatians, it says this, verse number 26. It says, where am I at? I misplaced something here. That's what happens when I begin to type stuff down, and I type the wrong stuff. I'm just going to read this verse anyway. It says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Go ahead and turn to your Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter number 1. A few verses, chapters over. Ephesians chapter number 1. We'll see this as well. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 5. It says this. It says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We are not directly born into the family of God through birth, but because of his son's death and the salvation that he gives, we are granted in if we receive him. With being adopted into the family of God, and this is why I say adoption is another beautiful step for a husband and a wife who are not able to have children, are able to go and be able to look at a child that's in need of a mother and a father to raise them and to nurture them and to give them a chance in a life. For whatever reason, the mom couldn't take care of the child to begin with, and they had to give them up through the process of adoption. Here comes some other folks coming in and say, hey, I'm going to love this child as if this child is my own. I'm going to raise this child as if this child is my own. I'm going to clothe this child as if this child is my own. And adoption is something so great, and it's even shown in Scripture here. So being adopted into the family of God is a great thing. I now have the same benefits, if not more, than being naturally born into. So this command here that we read back in Genesis chapter 1 was given to Adam and Eve after they were created for this reason, to populate the earth. Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Psalms, chapter 127. Psalms chapter 127. For some reason, I feel like I'm stuttering tonight, and I will explain why, so you can get to know me just a little bit. When I get extremely tired, I have a hard time talking, and I fumble over my words, and I stumble quite often. So bear with me tonight as we go through this. Amen? The book of Psalms, chapter 127, verse number 3, we'll read down through the end of verse number 5. Here it says, "Lo, children are an inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Children are an inheritance from the Lord, whether they come from the womb of the woman at that time, or the husband and wife have to go to the adoption center and adopt a child that is in need of a mom and dad. It is an inheritance from the Lord. Verse number 4 is, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." Have you ever noticed big families are extremely happy? They are. I'm not talking about the children. Children, sometimes they go at it with each other. But the mom and the dad, they're happy with the kids that they have. They're blessed to have them around on so many different occasions here. Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Genesis chapter number 9 tonight. The book of Genesis chapter number 9. We just dealt with, as God has told Adam and Eve after they were created, to be fruitful and to go out and to multiply this earth. Now we're going to see another man, another wife, given this command as well. We're going to read a little portion here, Genesis chapter 9. We'll read verses 1 through 7. It says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them," here's the word, "be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered." It's kind of going through exactly what God was saying back to Adam and Eve in chapter number 1 here. So let's continue to read on. Verse number 3 says, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." Again, going back to chapter number 1 of Genesis, you and I are created in the image of God. Verse number 7 says, "And you," talking to Noah here, "and you be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly into the earth and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after." This command, however, was given to Noah in a different situation. God created the earth during the time of Adam and Eve. The earth was populated, and now the earth had been destroyed. And so this command was given for a different purpose, because the earth population was destroyed. This didn't mean that God didn't get it right the first time. Sin had become so bad that God had wiped out all of mankind except for who? Except for Noah and his family. If Noah and his family ignored the command that God gave them that day to be fruitful and to multiply, you and I would not be here today. So I'm thankful that Noah and his family listened. Amen? So this took place because sin had become so great during this time. Here's the responsibility they had. The great responsibility was this: to replenish the earth. Even after our departure, I'm going to give you something to think about here tonight. Even after our departure from this world, after death takes us, if death doesn't take us and we go into the rapture, that's what I'm praying for. But if death takes us, here's what's going to be here. Our traits and our character that we have will continue through our children or our child, if that's what we have. What do you mean? I'm saying this. People automatically, when they see Jeff and I together, they know that we're brothers. I have been out in this town on many different occasions, and I have people who don't know me will walk up to me and they'll say this: "Are you Jeff Springer's brother?" And my response is this: "Is he in jail again? Do I got to bail him out?" I have done that before. Sorry. But we have those characters, we have those traits that we look like one another. Why? Because that's given by our parents. And so those traits that we are born with, through that, as life goes on, this is kind of neat to think about this, you're still being able to not see your parents, but you can see resemblance through the children out of here. Our looks will even be a reminder to folks who knew our parents. Photographs are great reminders of those things. I did not know this, but I was looking at pictures of Austin the other day. I did not know this, Dallas, how much Austin looks like you. I started praying for him. Very hard. No, I'm just kidding. But those are some things that are interesting to think about. Now, I'm having just a little bit of fun with this because you need to have some fun every once in a while. If we don't have fun, then, man, our faces will crack when a smile actually does appear. Turn your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. We're going to take a little bit of a turn here. Matthew chapter number 7 here tonight. We have read two commands that were given to two different people to be fruitful and to multiply for the purpose of the population of the earth to continue. The book of Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 16 through 20 is what we'll read tonight here. It says in verse number 16, it says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or of figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." And I understand, and I know this, that this verse here, this chapter here that we're talking about, is dealing specifically with false teachers. But we can take this and we can apply this to how we are to parent. Here is why I say this. We are known by our fruits. And I'm talking about the fruit of the womb, who is the child. When it comes to replenishing the earth, we also have a great responsibility to raise our children correctly. And I need an amen on that because it's a tremendous responsibility. Our responsibility of parenting is not leaving our children sitting in front of a television screen 24 hours a day. That's not our responsibility. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Our responsibility as a parent is to train and raise our children in the Lord. Amen to that. When it comes to replenishing the earth, we also have a great responsibility to raise our children correctly. We do this by raising them in the Lord. The good tree here is a representation of Jesus Christ. The bad tree is a representation of the devil. There is a clear distinction how our kids act when raised properly. "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." I want to focus tonight for the remainder of this evening in the book of John, chapter number 15. The book of John, chapter number 15. I've said all this to get to this point tonight. The book of John, chapter 15, and we're going to read the first 14 verses here this evening. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Our word tonight is to what? To be fruitful. In order to be fruitful, you and I need to be adopted into the family of God. Amen? And so Jesus here is the vine. So let's continue to read on. It says, verse number 3, Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. It's so very true. In order for a branch to continue to bear fruit, it's got to be what? It's got to be in the vine itself, in the exact tree. If you go around town after a windy day, you'll see many branches laying around. And those branches now that they're laying around on the ground are now useless. They're no longer a fruit-bearing branch. They're dead. And most people, what they'll do, they'll gather the sticks up and they'll put them in a recycling bin. Or if some people have a fire pit at home, they'll grab those branches and they'll take them and they'll begin to burn those things. Let's begin reading here again. Verse number 4 says, Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in a vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Basically, the illustration that I just gave you here. So let's continue reading on verse number 7. It says, If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As a father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Not are we just known by our children from the fruit of the womb, we are also known by the spiritual fruit that we bear. And I'm talking about those that we have led to Christ. A mission that God has called every believer to take part of. You and I, because we are God's children, we are as Moses or as Noah and his family and Adam and Eve and his family was commanded to be fruitful and to multiply and replenish the earth. You and I, as his children, are commanded to do the same, to be fruitful. And I'm not talking about going through a childbearing process. I'm talking about going out into this world and winning souls to Christ that need him. That's what being fruitful is all about. And that's what we're created to do. So as we continue to go on here, talking about those we have led to Christ, the branch here is a representation of the tree. Herein is this passage, the vine. Who is the vine? The vine is Jesus Christ. It also says a branch that doesn't bear fruit is what? Is purged from the tree. A dead branch or a fruitless branch can become toxic to the tree. You know why a lot of people, arborists will go out and they'll begin to purge the tree from the dead branches? Because if they don't do that, that toxin that killed that branch will eventually spread into the tree. And so in order to protect that tree from the further, the disease that was taken in that branch that caused it to die, can infect a tree, and it can infect a whole entire tree and kill it. And so there's this purging process to remove those things so it doesn't affect the tree. So that's what's being done here. A dead branch or a fruitless branch can become toxic to the tree. Therefore, because of this, there is a removal process that takes place to save the rest of the tree from dying. Jesus doesn't leave us without any instructions on where we are to go to be fruitful. Turn your Bibles. If you're in John, you just go ahead and turn back a few chapters to chapter number 4. When Jesus gives us a command to do something, he doesn't just leave it right there. He doesn't just say, okay, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. Now he's given us a command to go to places. If we're to be fruitful to win people to the Lord, what do we have to do? We have to be able to move and go to the area that God has called us to go. So the book of John, chapter number 4, verse number 35 says this. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. So if we want to be fruitful, we have to do what? We have to move to the fields that have already been prepared, and then we got to go out, and then we got to reap those things, sow those things. The fields is a good place to start. Why? Because the fields are already ripe for harvest. The problem that we have when it comes to missed opportunities is this. The eyes that we have been closed. We close our eyes to the fields that God has called us to. And I'm not talking about God calling you to go to Africa or Australia or anything like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the very field that God has you here in this community. Well, what is your field? Your field's your workplace. Your field's your school that you go to. Your field's your job. That's your field. God has put you in that place for a reason, and that reason is this, is to be fruitful and then to multiply. What do you mean multiply? Well, as you win souls, hopefully that soul will catch what you have, and they're going to want to do things, and they're going to want to be fruitful, and they're going to continue the multiplication process. Amen. Amen to that? But we have eyes that have been closed. We have a great opportunity to bear fruit, but we need to be opening our eyes to the fields that God has called us to. I was so grateful yesterday. I wasn't able to go with a group yesterday. We were working on this back here, and it shows you I still need to work on it because I'm messing stuff up. But as they came back that morning, just hearing of the conversations that they're able to have with folks. And you know why that excited me? Because they're folks who are excited about being fruitful and multiplying so that other people can come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That, to me, is exciting. How can we be fruitful? Well, this can only happen when we begin to put the work in. Well, what kind of work do we as believers have to do? You mean God doesn't call us just to sit in a pew and not do nothing? No, God is calling us where? He's calling us to the fields. He's calling us to the workplace. So we have to put the work in. So what do we have to do? We have to go, and then we have to cultivate the fields. As we're cultivating the fields, we're going to have to remove the weeds. And as we remove the weeds, then we have to do the next process, and that is to remove the obstacles that prohibit fruit bearing. Yesterday, I've had a pool in my yard for years. And I decided, okay, time to take it down. We don't use it much anymore. And I figured if I wanted to swim, Lake Manawal's down the road, I can just go jump in there. Whenever I want, it's free. Amen? It doesn't matter if I get a disease. I just got one. but anyway, I decided to take it down. And in the process, I begin to lay some seed on the ground. I also, years ago, I always liked something soft to walk in the pool. I don't like walking on in the pool and you begin to feel sharp objects. So I put some styrofoam down. Well, I pulled the styrofoam up with it yesterday, but there's a little section that I didn't pull up for this reason. I'm doing a test. You got to do tests. And I put grass seed on there. Now, in my mind, I know that I put the grass seed on that foam, and that foam's not coming up because it's implanted in the ground. I'm thinking to myself, I'm just going to put the grass seed down there. I'm going to see if it comes up. I know it's not going to come up, folks. Why? Because it's blocking the seed from taking germination into the ground, and it's not going to grow. If I want that to grow, what am I going to have to do? I got to go out, and I got to remove that obstacle so that seed that I put on the ground could begin to be fruitful and give me the grass that I desire to have there. So we have to put the work in. It takes some effort at times. It's not always going to be easy. And I've noticed the older I've gotten, the less I like physical work. I'm going to be honest with you. It's not fun to me anymore. Doug, I have nothing to prove anymore when it comes to those things. But we got to put in the hard work. We got to remove the obstacles. During that process, we're going to have to battle the storms. We're going to have to endure the hardships. Continue watering the process for the fields as well that need Jesus Christ. It doesn't always happen overnight. But the believer who continues to sow on a faithful basis will bear fruit along the way. You know, last Sunday night, and when we met for our anniversary Sunday, and we did a celebration birthday as well for Pastor. It was his 76th birthday last week. I asked people who were led to Christ by Pastor, and I saw multiple hands. You know what that did to me? That excited me, because that is fruit that he was able to bear while on earth. And now your destination was saved from heaven to hell to heaven, because he did that process. He cultivated the fields. He came back home and started the church and began to cultivate the fields of Council Bluffs, Iowa. He began to go out and begin to sow, and in the process he began to reap, and people get saved. Fruit on his account. That's just a little portion of what we've seen. Let me ask you a question. Can people say that about you? Can people say, when you leave this earth, can they say, yeah, so-and-so led me to Jesus Christ? Some of us might not be able to say those things because we're not taking this thing of being fruitful, going out to win souls for Christ very seriously. So we have to battle the storm. We have to endure the hardships. It doesn't happen overnight, but fruit will come. Fruit will be born as we continue this process. God has laid upon my heart, and I don't understand why. I don't. God has laid upon my heart to pray for 100 new members here at this church. That seems like a task that seems impossible. Folks, I'm going to be realistic with you. It seems impossible. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Well, what if it doesn't happen? Gary, I'm not going to stop praying. I said a few weeks ago, we have not because we ask not. I'm hoping that we continue to be faithful in praying for the 100 souls. By the way, wouldn't it be great if all 100 of these souls that came in, someone said this Wednesday night, God, ladies, you weren't in our prayer meeting, but this is going to blow you away. And I believe it was said twice, God, thank you for the people that you're going to bring. You know what that's saying? That's saying, my faith is in God. Already thanking God for the process. By the way, it's already happening. But wouldn't it be great, 100 people in this community joins Open Door Baptist Church because we went out, we're sowing, and fruit is being born in our account. 100 new members. their destination was heaven or hell, and now it's heaven. Man, I don't know about you, but that's exciting. I can't explain why God's laid that upon my heart, but he just has. This can happen not because of us, but because of God. Folks, please don't get me wrong when I say this. We can't be content with just us. We can't be content with just us. As I look around this auditorium, I'm so thankful for the folks that are here, but I'm also sad that we have so many empty seats. We need to be fruitful and to multiply. We need other believers like-minded to help bear fruit for this community. There isn't a task too big, there isn't a task too small for God to handle. My question tonight is, what is stopping us from bearing fruit for God? I'm going to close with this statement that I said this morning. Maybe we're being stopped because of this. Are we here because we're serving man? Or are we here to serve God? Those who serve man, please understand this when I say this. Those who serve man are fruitless believers. Those who serve God are fruit bearers. Amen? Can this happen? It sure can. How is this going to happen? By taking up this task that God has called us to be fruitful and to multiply. Amen? We have so many people that we can reach for this, for our Lord. But we allow so many things and so many excuses to overtake. And we put that on the back burner. Man, life, the book of James says this, life is nothing but a vapor. It's here one day and it's gone the next. I used to think that 50 years of age was way, way far off for me. But here I am, I'm knocking on the door of 50. I'm literally 2.5 years from being 50 years of age. And I'm thinking to myself, how fast time goes. But I'm also thinking this, what have I done in that lifespan to be fruitful for God? Have I wasted my time? I'm going to use the words of Jeff as he used this morning. When those times come up, am I blaring my horn to cause me to be distracted from not doing the will of God? We're here to be fruitful. Amen? We're here to be fruitful. Let's have a word of prayer. And I want to thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you for enduring my stuttering tonight. Lord willing, I'll get some rest tonight. But that's just how my body works. Everybody's body operates differently. So anyway, we'll pray. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. I am so grateful today that you want to use us to be fruitful for your kingdom. Lord, you've actually commanded us to go. It's not a choice of ours. It's not a decision that we have to sit there and think about and contemplate on. Well, I might do this 5 years from now or 15 years from now. No, Lord, it is a command that you gave us. We're to go to all the places of this world to give the gospel to people who need it. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to see the importance of spreading the gospel, to be fruitful for you, so that we can bring others to heaven with us. We can't bring our homes, we can't bring our cars, but God, we can bring other people with us. And I pray, Lord, I know that I don't have enough people on my account tonight. God, I need more. I need more to bring with me to heaven. And so, God, I pray that I would be more fruitful than what I have been in the past. Lord, my years of having great energy, my years of having great stamina are realistically, Lord, are coming to an end for me. I know I'm still young, but Lord, I'm seeing how things are changing for me. So God, help me to take advantage of the energy that I have to be fruitful for you. Bless these folks as they leave here tonight. Bring us back safely this Wednesday night, Lord, as we meet in a time of prayer. And Lord, help us to continue to remember the ones that are not feeling well, that they would be back with us soon. And we ask it in your name. Amen.